We're on the top of Daf Yud Beis, Amud Aleph, four lines down for the Kaf Gufa, and we're going back to our Mishnah, which is here on Daf Yud Aleph, and we're going to analyze a part of the Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph. Ra o son rotzin achar hametzia, achar tzvi shavur, achar gozol shol parchu, v'yomer zachsoli sadeu zachsolo. So Rabbi Yirmiyah, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, comes up with a qualification. When a person sees these animals, these birds of Hefker running through his field, and he declares that his sada, his field, should be Zochan on his behalf, and the Mishnah establishes that it is valid, and the Kinyan is Chal, is v'hu, that only applies sherotz achreim umagion. They're not just flying through the field in such a way that if he tries to run after them, they'll be out of here. They'll be able to fly out of the field. He's able to run and catch them before they leave the field, and that's called rotz achreim umagion. If, on the other hand, before he gets to them, they could be boreach, they could just flee from the sada, then he was not zochen. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah had a suffolk. This requirement of rotz achreim umagion, formulated by Rabbi Yochanan, we know that it applies in our Mishnah. That's a case of matana. Of Metzia. The Matana, hey, what would be the din in a Matana? Do we have the same qualification and the same limitation? Namely, that the only time a person can give me a Matana by placing an object into my chatzer, into my sud, is only if I can retrieve that object before it leaves the sud. Again, we're talking about an animate object, something like a tzvi or a bird. And the reason why Rabbi Yirmiyah has this suffix is because we've discussed this in the past. Metzia, matana are two separate categories. In the case of metzia, what we have is hefker, there's no makne, and the kinyan therefore stands on its own as an objective kinyan act. It's like a box, an independent box. There's nothing outside the box that could possibly help and complete the kinyan, supplement the kinyan. Masha'en came in the case of matana, here it's a little different, because here it's a das makne. And the das makne works wonders, it goes a long way towards hachnosas hachefetz letok reshuso shel hakone, towards bringing the object into the ownership of he who acquires it. And therefore it could be possible that from the perspective of the recipient of the kona, the kinyan could be less severe, so to speak, less profound. It could be a weaker kind of kinyan. And in fact, the Gemara says, Kibla mine Rabbi Abba bar Kahana. Rabbi Abba had a Kabbalah to say a certain svara, and that svara actually confirms the distinction that underlies the suffix of Yirmiyah, namely that afal pisha rotzachrem v'ein magion. In the case of dasachers makna, where there's akna v'matana, or for that anamecher, there the qualification of the kinyan of chotzer is not applicable, and even if eino magion, even if he cannot catch the tzvi until it goes out of the boundaries, the borderlines of the field, nevertheless he could be kona. Boy, Rava, now we have another suffix. This time it's Rava. And this touches on the concept of avir, airspace. This is a classical issue about airspace, similar to what we find in Masechet Shabbos, when we have the sugya of Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid. What if you have something that's traveling through Rishus HaYochid, it doesn't land in Rishus HaYochid, goes through the airspace of Rishus HaYochid? Is that kimunach? does that make it as if it's for all intents and purposes placed down and resting on the Rosh Hashanah Yochid, or do we say no, it's got to be resting physically, it's not enough to be caught in the airspace of the Rosh Hashanah Yochid, Rosh Hashanah Rabim, similar concepts, Kluta Kavisha Huncha Dami, etc., etc. So Rav wants to know, in terms of a Kinyan Chatzah, the Chatzah has obviously the ground of the Chatzah, it's got the fence around the Chatzah, it's Mishtameres, and it also has the airspace in the Chatzah. Is Zorak Arniki, imagine if you throw an object of value, in this case it's a purse, Bepetach Zeh, it goes through one entranceway, one opening in the house, V'yotza Bepesach Acher, but it goes out of the house. And the one who threw it declared that, you know, I don't want ownership anymore, let the first person who gets a hold of it, let him own it. So he was mafkir it. You know, we find, especially in contemporary society, very often people, they're not interested in certain things they have. You know, they had an old wallet and they want to get rid of it. They're not interested. You know, they'd rather replace it with a brand new wallet. So he throws it and he says, you know what? Kol HaKodim Zocha. And now the wallet goes through someone's house, but it enters in through one window and goes out the other window. So what's the din of this arnaki? Do we say that the Baal Bais who owns the house was zochin it through the halacha of avir, of the airspace of his chatzah, in this case his bais, or do we say no, that it's not enough that it goes through the airspace, it has to be munach, it has to be resting on the ground? Mahu, what's the din? Avir she'ein sofo lanuach kemunach dami olo. Shall we say that in the case where an object is not going to land in that airspace, just traveling through the airspace, it's kemunach dami? It's enough that it's grabbed, so to speak, by the airspace, and if the owner of the house was coded olo, or do we say no? It's ein sofo lanuach, it's just simply coincidentally or in a transient sort of way, passing through like an arrow, you know, shot through the airspace of the house, and therefore it's not considered munach, there's no kinyan chatzah. Now the Gemara is going to make an attempt at determining this suffix of Rav, coming to some definite conclusion. Amalei Rav Papa l'Rava. There's a long question here about what the tradition of this statement is, the transmission, whether it's Rav Adabar Masna who's talking to Rava, whether it's Ravina who's talking to Rava. And in a rhetorical question, Lav Hainu Masnisen, can't we answer your question from the Mishnah? Ro son Rotzin Achar Mitziyav Vi Omar Rav Yirmiyah Bar Omar Rav Yochanan Husha Rotzach Reyem Umagiyon. We had the qualification of Rav Yochanan that when is your Sada considered Toface, it's considered like it made an actual kinyan on the mitziah that's going through it when you declare zachzali sadeh, sadi. That's only, says Rabbi Yochanan, if ratzach rei magia. It's not enough that the animal travels through the airspace of the sod. Boy, Rabbi Yirmi, we had the question of Rabbi Yirmi Matonaheich. And the Gemara gives a little bit of a review. We have a kabla mine Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana Shem Matona B'Matona Afal Pi Sherotzach Rem V'Ein Magion. So that therefore your case, Rava, of throwing something through the airspace is very similar to our case, and it depends on how you view this object. Is it an object of Hefker without a Das Acheres Machna, or does it have a Das Acheres Machna? Now it's a little bit confusing and ambiguous, because if you remember the Zorek, the one who threw this arnaki and relinquished his ownership, he made a declaration that Kol HaKodem Zocha, whoever gets it first. That itself could be viewed and defined as a Das Acheres Machnen. In that case, based on the final Hachara, the decision of the Abba, that if something enters into the Rishus of a person, even if he can't get a hold of it, but it was placed there, it got there for the deliberate purpose of Das Machne, then Zochabo Balabayas. And this would answer and tip the scale on Rava's question about Arniki, because even though the Arniki is Ein Sofa Lanuach, it's no different than the Tzvi or the gozels that are flying through the airspace, and in a case of Das Acheres Machne, the kone actually acquires ownership over the object, despite the fact that it's Ein Sofo Lanuach. And in truth, the Gemara seems to be operating with the premise that in the case of Arniki, there is a Das Acheres Machne, it should be equated to Matana, and Ein Sofo Lanuach is still Konen Matana, as opposed, in contrast to the case of Mitzia, where there's no Das Acheres Machne, there it must be Rotzach Rehem Umagia. You have to get to a Hanocha. Omalei Rava turns to that Chacham, who brought this proof from the din of Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana regarding Matana. And he said, you know what? Mizgalgil Ka'am, your case is a little bit different than my question. My case was where he threw it through the airspace. Your case is about an animal, whether it's a tzvi or a bird, a gozlos, that actually walk on the karka. Even the gozlos walk on the karka. And therefore, at some point, you could define it as munach al gabi karka. It's not flying through the airspace. So that at the end of the day, Rav is telling this Chacham that you don't really have an analogy and an exact proof from Rabbi Abba's case of Matonaf al Pisharotzach Revieno Magiyon, because there it's like Munach al Gavikarka, insofar as Mizgalgal al Gavikarka has the status of Munach al Gavikarka. Now, this is not similar to the case in Gittin of Yoda Suya Katafris, where she receives the get from her husband when her hand is balaxon, it's on a curve, on an incline, and the get is going to roll off her hand onto the ground. That's a case of Mizgalgal miyoda. You know, the Torah says Minosan biyoda, and if it's rolling out of her hand and there's no possibility here of her grabbing it, that's a problem. And therefore the Sugya Gitna in Ches, in such a case, vacillates as to whether or not she's Megureshes. The final conclusion is Eina Megureshes. It's Mizgalgal Miyoda. And that's because it's Ein Sofo Lanuach Biyoda. However, in the case of Kinyonim, is Vari Im Ein Sofo Lanuach, Afilu Mizgalgal Karpa Lo Zocha. That's as far as get is concerned, but in this case, where there's a Mizgalgal with a Das Machne, there you are Konev. There's no din and requirement in Matana or Hakna of Nesina. It just has to be clear that the Machne is putting it into the Rishus of the Kone in order and for the sake of Kinyan, that the Kone should acquire ownership. That's not the case of Get. Get, the Torah says, Menosim B'yada, and you need Sofo Lanuach B'yada. Now, what's the final halacha here in our sugya of the case of Rava regarding Arniki that goes through the airspace? The Gemara doesn't come to any conclusion. It's what you call an ibaidelo ifshita. Therefore, in Matana, says the Rosh here, the nosein, the owner of the Matana, has a right to rescind and decide that he doesn't want to give the Matana. Why? Because he's the marakama, he's the owner, he has the chazaka. And in a suffix situation, is a motzi mechal araya. But says the Rosh, in the case of hefker of a mitzia, which has no bailim, then in such a case, we could say that the arniki traveling through the bias of the bal bias is already tofus biyado. He has some sort of muhzakus. If somebody wants to claim that it's his, then he has to be the motzi mechavel araya. And that's again because the original Bailim who threw the arniki are out of the picture here. They're not connected to the object anymore. So if you imagine, for example, that the arniki travels through the house from one window through the other, and then somebody else goes grabs it, we can take the object out of his hand and award it to the Balabais because he's the Muchzak HaRishon, so claims the Rosh. What has to be understood, of course, in the context of the Rosh, is why is the Balabais considered the Muchzak HaRishon when his Chazak itself is in question? You know, the fact that Avir Shein Sofo Lanuach may not be exactly Kimunat Domi, where does he have a Tfisa, and how does he establish a Chazak on the object? The Rama, by the way, doesn't mention the suffix of Agamara. In Hilchas Gerushin, however, in Perek Hey, he writes that if somebody throws a get into the Rishus, into the domain of his wife, and it goes through the Rishus, so the Rambam says that in a case where he omedes ba, she's standing in the Rishus, v'nafal chutz l'rishusa, the Rambam says, einam gureshes. And the Rambam seems to apply lahalach l'maisa, the principle of aver she'eno, she'en sofo, lanuach, lav kimunach dami. And the Magid Mishnah wants to say that at least the Rambam should have admitted that she's a suffik megureshes, because our Gemara doesn't come to any definite conclusion. But the truth is that this sugya of aver she'eno munach kemunach dami is not just here in Masecht Bava Metzia, it also appears in Masecht Zvachim, and there the Gemara comes to the conclusion of lav kemunach dami. That's why the Rambam paskins in the case of Gerushin that if the get is going to go through Harishus but land outside Harishus, he's not Megureshes. The Rambam paskins in Maisa Karbonis Perik Dalet that Avir HaKli HaReu KiKli and Hoya Mekabal Adam V'Nifchesu Shule HaMazre Kodem Sheyagi Adam LiAvir HaMazre KaNifches Lo Niskalish Adam SheAvir Shein Sofel Enuach Eino Kimunach Domi. So you have a case of dam, and the question is whether or not you can fulfill the mitzvah of zrikas adam with this dam. First, you need a kabbalah sadam, and this kabbalah sadam was in an avishen sofel enuch, and that's not kimunach domi. So the Rambam consistently paskins lav kimunach domi, whether it's in hilchas gerushin regarding a get, whether it's in hilchas maisa karbados with regard to zrikas adam. Whereas the Rosh, as we saw here in Bava Metzia, he maintains that it's a suffik, and he bide the lo ifshita, and therefore it would be logical to assume that in the case of Gerushin, the Rosh would insist that we have a suffik get. This Rabosai leads us to the Mishnah of Metzias Beno Bitok Tanim, which is here almost halfway through the Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. And just by way of introduction, we should know that there's an issue as to whether or not a katan, and for that matter, a katana, has a yad for zechia. Assuming that in order to have a yad for zechia, you need gadlus, and a katan is considered a lav bar deyaninu, and therefore if he doesn't have das, he cannot be kone. Again, we always have to talk about the possibility of das acheres machna in the case of matana, but let's talk about the case of metzia, where there is no das acheres machna. So the Mishnah establishes here that metzias b'no ubito akatana, metzias avdo shifchos akanana, metzias ishto harei elu shalo. Now, what this means by Hareilu Shalo is, l'chora, at first glance, it means that the katan is zochin the metziah on behalf of his father. And that is a takonis chacham, implying that midaraisa, the katan could not be zocha for himself. And since he's not zocha for himself, the Rabbanan said, you know what, but his zechus, his chia, is valid, is operative as far as his father is concerned. We see a similar concept in the case of Avdo v'shivchas haknanim, and in the case of Ishto. The takana was made that any mitziah that a woman finds, if she's married, automatically accrues to her husband within the context of marriage. And the Chachamim made this takana mishum eva in order to cement and solidify the relationship between a husband and wife. Could you imagine if a woman found the mitziah and she didn't share it with her husband? And that's called in the Lashon of the Rishon Mishum, Eva. If you take a look, Rashi, Dibra Maschil, Mitzias Ishto. Rashi says, Rabbanan Tekinu Le Mishum, Eva. However, in the case of Avdo v'shivchas haknanim, Rashi seems to imply that this is a do'oraisa aloch. It's not similar to Mitzias b'no bito haktanim, nor to the case of Ishto, and Rashi's language is Shere Gufo Konilo Olamis Kirksiv Visnachaltem. That insofar as the relationship between the Adon, the master, and the Eved, in this case an Eved Kanani, is one of Gufo Konilo, he has a kinyan on the goof of the Eved. Therefore, whatever the Eved finds automatically accrues to the Adon, Yad Ha'Eved Kiyad Balabayis, and that seems to be a Dindo Raisa. But we never will come back to this discussion later. The Mishnah continues in the Sefer Mitzias Bino Bito Agdolim, Mitzias Avdov Shivchaso HaIvrim, Mitzias Ishto Shegersha, is Afal Pishal Onosan Ksuba Hare Elu Shelahen. If the child is already a young, mature adult in halachic sense means in the case of a bas, she's already 12, in the case of a ben, he's already 13, they have a yad to be zocha for themselves, there's no need for any takanas chachamim over here, and it belongs to them. In the case of an eved or a shivcha ha'ivrim, where the eved has a shibu to work for his Jewish owner, but he's not gufo konui, and therefore he's a separate financial entity unto himself, he has a yad, and he can be zocha for himself. In the case of an isha, that she already received her get, even though she hasn't yet received her ksuba payment, and the Gemara later on in Amud Beis is going to try to explain what exactly is this case, and we're going to soon see that it's a case of a suffik karv lo, and she's a suffik megureshes, and the Mishnah wants to tell us that in such a case, the Baal continues to have to pay support, which is called mizonos, but nevertheless, she can collect her mitziah for herself, because the whole takona was for Avon here, he's interested in divorcing her, maybe he didn't do a good job in Izrika, and therefore there's no issue of Ava as we know it. The Gemara says, Omer Shmuel, b'nei ma omru mitziyas katon li aviv. What's the underlying reason why the Chachamim established, as we saw in that Mishnah, that when a Katan finds a lost object, it accrues to his father? And the answer is, and I'll add the word Lefi, Shebisha Shemotza, when the Katan finds it, Meritza Eitzel Aviv. As a general rule, he will take the object that he finds and run it over to his father. He doesn't hold on to it for himself. He's not interested in making a kinyan on it. He's a young child before the age of bar mitzvah, and that's the ratio of our Mishnah. He brings the mitziah as a general rule to his father. Maybe it means on a deeper level that the Rabbanon are not going to establish in this case that the katan takes it for himself, and after all, we are trying to motivate the father to support his son. And therefore, we assume that when he, the katan, picks up an object, his action is being zoche in a mitziah on behalf of his father. It's not clear whether or not the child has to have kavana. Generally speaking, a kavana concept is shaykh by a gadol who's a bardas, but not by a katan. So it could very well be that even if the katan had something else in mind, nevertheless, the chachamim were masakein that when he does an action which constitutes a kinyan, the object, the mitziah, automatically reverts to the father, and he, the father, is the proud owner of this mitziah. Please keep in mind that Shmuel frames this halacha in terms of meritza eitzel aviv. He doesn't qualify whether the child is supported by his father, which is called samach al shulchan aviv, whether he's not being supported by his father. It's irrelevant. All that's relevant is that the chachamim made this takana that the father is zocha the mitziah of his son who's a katan, because a katan is merits mitziah soliyav. He runs it back to his father. Now here in the Shita Mekubetzes, there's a kasha here from the Mari Abuav that I wanted to share with you. He says that according to Shmuel, one could raise the following question. And let me read it to you. He says, Madua Omer Sagmar Lumer de Sam Shmuel Cotton Leslie Schiel and Afshim the Raisa Ludir Shmuel Hakotan Zocha Biatzmo. El Shabimitsia, who magbil it's or of it, be nine lon alomisha ain't lo schiel yatzmo. Since Shmuel formulates this halacha as a mitzia halacha, namely that in the case of mitzia, we assume that the son, the child, is picking up the mitzia and he's going to run it over to his father. That's where the Chacham Phil made that jump and established that takana. How does this prove that katan lesle zechia lenafshe midoraisa? Maybe in fact the katan does have a zechia. So he does have the power and status to make a kinyan for himself. However, in the case of a mitzia, the Chacham made a takana that the son is operating on behalf of his father. And this is kasha number one on the next line in the Gemara. Lemeimer d'savar Shmuel katan lesle schil enafshe midoraisa. Shall we assume that Shmuel understood that this is a takanas chachamim based on the fact that the katan has no zechiyah, no yad to be zocher for himself according to Torah law? The rabbanon, they gave him a yad, but they said that in the case of mitzia, since he's merits as a mitzia eitzel aviv, therefore they established that the father was zocher. But it could very well be, I mean, how does the Gemara know for sure that Shmuel holds a cotton less like schil with the rice, and maybe he has a schil in afshi with the rice, but here in the case of mitzia, because he's merits his mitzia to the other, that's why they made a takon of this sort. And furthermore, the plot grows thicker. Shmuel never committed himself one way or the other. What would be the case if the katan was not merits mitzia asaliyot? Let's say he declares he wants it for himself. He wants to be zochin mitzia liatzmo. In such a case, it's very possible that he himself, the katan, would be zochin liatzmo, even according to Shmuel, because Shmuel's only talking about a limited case where he was merits eitzel aviv, meaning he indicated that he wanted the mitzia, he's grabbing the mitzia on behalf of his father. But that doesn't mean that a katan doesn't have a yad for zechiya. And based on this, Ishid Mekubetzis quotes the Ma'ari Abuav as saying that according to Torah law, it's absolutely clear that the katan has no zechiya, not liatzmo, not liaviv. When the Chachamim came along and they made a takana that mitzias katan liaviv, what they did is, were they facilitating the ability of the katan to be zocher for himself, and then as a second stage in the process, the object, the mitziah, reverts his father, or maybe immediately, according to this takanas chachamim, the yad of the katan is like the yad of the father. It doesn't have a two-stage process. It never enters into the quotation marks, the reshus of the katan. And Shmuel derived from our Mishnah that in the case of mitziahs katan liaviv, the child is not zocha at all on behalf of himself. Immediately, in a one-stage process, he's zocha on behalf of the father. And Shmuel says the reason why is because of meritza eitzel aviv. They never made a takana that the katan should be zocha, but rather the katan is zocha on behalf of his father. And therefore it becomes crystal clear, according to this understanding, that a katan has no yad to be zocher for himself. And Shmuel's understanding from our Mishnah of Mitzias Katan Li'aviv, that the Chachamim never made a takana to give a child a yad l'schir. And why is that? Because Meritza Eitzel Aviv. But again, the Meritza Eitzel Aviv doesn't have to be taken up in on each particular scenario, each particular reality, each particular case. What it means is that because Meritza Eitzel Aviv, the Chacham decided we're not going to be misakin a yad for the katan to be zocher. We're going to say that the katan is an extension of his father, and immediately when the katan does this kinyan, he's operating on behalf of his father. So it's crystal clear now that even if the katan indicates that he's not going to be Meritz Mitzia Eitzel Aviv, he says, I don't want to give it to my father, I want it for myself. Even so, that's irrelevant. Because since a general you know, the general population of Ketanim are merits mitzias liyot. Therefore, they made the takana that although a katan has no yad to be zocher for himself, he becomes an extension of his father's yad. Irrelevant and irrespective to, as to whether or not this katan in one particular case is interested in doing this zechi on behalf of his father or selfishly on behalf of himself, that's totally, totally irrelevant. And all this is based on the fact that katan lesle zechia lenafshe midorais. So the Chacham made this takon, as we said before, that a katan is zoche in the metziah on behalf of his father. Now the Gemara asks, wait a minute, is it really true that Shmuel denies katan zechia lenafshe min haTorah? Vasanya, don't we have a brisa that says the following, hasocher es hapoel? And now we're talking about the laws of matnas aniyim. And the poel, who's being hired to harvest the crop of the balabais, and the balabais will pay his wages according to the days that he works or the hours that he works, is yilaket b'no achrov. Yilaket b'no achrov. And the word yilaket is the verb, the noun of which is leket. Leket, of course, is one of the categories of matnas aniyim, like leket and shikha and peya. And we're talking about a situation in which the poel is working in the field on behalf of the balabayas, and the poel's son, who's a katan in this case, is sort of like following after him, and he's an ani, and he's picking up the leketh. In other words, whatever his father drops, which is leket at the time of the ketzira, the katan is picking up, and then he brings that leket to his father. That's case number one. Case number two, lemechza in this price, it means that the bala sada hired this worker as what's called a kablan, which means he, the worker, will get 50% of whatever he collects, whatever he picks up in the harvest, or shlish, not 50%, but 33 1/3%, or revia, or perhaps 25%. In those cases, lo yilaket b'no achrav. Then the son cannot pick up the leket. The leket belongs to the aniyim. And since this poel in this case is a kablan, which means that he gets a certain percentage of the harvest, he's considered as an ashir. An ashir means that he has an ownership right in such a way that he's not an ani. And again, I don't know if we have to go into the bank account exactly how much this kablan is earning in terms of dollars and cents, but once he has a chilek, he has a partnership in the harvest, then he's considered a balabayis, and a balabayis cannot pick up matnas aniyim on behalf of himself. It must go to the aniyim. So therefore, if the ben, now the son, is moving right behind his father as his father's harvesting the crop, he, the son, has no right to be zochen leket shikopeh of matnas aniyim on behalf of his father. That has to go to the aniyim. Rabbi Yossi Omer, bein kach u bein kach, whether the poel is hired just on a daily basis, that's called a skir yom, whether he's a kablan in which he gets a percentage of the produce, is nevertheless yilaket b'no v'ishto achrav. The household members of the family of the poel are permitted to pick up the leket shikran peah. V'omar Shmuel halacha k'Rav Yossi, and Shmuel holds that halacha is like Rav Yossi. And now we have to clarify what is the logic that underlies the principle here of Rabbi Yossi. Why is this allowed in the case of a kablan? After all, the father here is the father poel is the yashir, and how could the children or the wife collect leket shikumpeah? And the Gemara says, it makes sense, Bishlam, if we assume that Katan Islay's Chil and Nafshe, which means that the child himself is an Ani. He's not being Zoch on behalf of his father. If we're going to say that Rabbi Yossi holds that a Katan has a Yad to be Zoche in a Mitziah, in something that's Hefker Minat Torah, then we understand why Rabbi Yossi and Shmuel embraces the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, allows the cotton to be zocher on his behalf. He's not being malakit on behalf of his father, who's an usher or a balabais, as we said before, but rather he's being zocher on his own behalf insofar as he's an ani. And then this cotton is avua minei kazochi. The father will now, by virtue of this takonis chachamim, be kone, the mitziah, the hefker that the son was kone. But again, it's a two-stage process. First, it enters into the rishus of the katan, right? He's malakeit l'nafshe, and then, and only then, in the second stage, it reverts to the father. If it would be a direct likut or zchia straight to the father's bank account, that would be absolutely objectionable, because the halacha doesn't allow the father, who's a kablan and an usher, to be zochin peyah in matnas aniyim. That has to go to the aniyim. Here, however, it first goes into the bialis, the rishus of the katan himself, because katan is zochel in afshe, and the katan is an ani. And then, as the second stage, the rabbanan attached the mitziah and the hefker back to the father, to the poel, and that's okay. Elai Amrit, if you don't agree with me, and rather Rabbi Yossi holds cotton less leischil in afshe is ki komalaket li aviv komalaket, then in effect he is being malaket on behalf of his father, and avua ashir who is amai ishto b'no malaket achra. So in effect, if the sheet of Rabbi Yossi is that the yad of the cotton is only drabanan, which means, as we saw in Shmuel, that it goes directly to the father, it doesn't go through a middle stage, because the katan himself has no zchiyah, so it's all midrabanan. If that be the case, then we have a problem here, because how can you be zocha, how can the father be zocha as an ashir in matnas aniyim? It must be that Rabbi Yossi maintains the position that katan is zocha min hatorah v'mitziyah, and it's liatzmo. Once it's liatzmo, the katan is zocha in the leket, because he's an ani. Now Shmuel accepts the halacha like Rabbi Yossi. It means that Shmuel himself is committed to the position that a katan is zochem in a Torah l'nafshe, and he's not being zochem on behalf of his father. So then, why did Shmuel in our Mishnah, in understanding our Mishnah, assume that the katan has no yad whatsoever, and it was all established as a yad as a takonis chachamim? The Gemara answers Shmuel, Taimei d'tana didan ka'amar v'lei lo svirlei. When Shmuel explains in our Mishnah that a katan is zocha li'aviv, with his explanation of meritz as a mitziah li'aviv, that's to explain the author of our Mishnah. He himself, Shmuel, doesn't accept that svara. He's on the boat, he's on the radar screen together with Rabbi Yossi, which means that a katan is zochem mitziah liatzmo. The Gemara asks, "V'savar Rabbi Yossi katan islay zchiya midaraisa?" Are you telling me that Rabbi Yossi maintains that a katan has a yad min haTorah and he can be zochem mitziah for himself according to Torah law, and that's why Rabbi Yossi establishes that the ben can be zochem in the leket as an ani, and then later he can pass it, transfer it over to his father, even though his father's an Ashir. Vasnan, what are we going to do with the Mishnah Gittin? Mitzias cheresh shota v'katan, yesh bahem gezel mipnei darkei sholom. Which clearly means that a katan has a zchia in a mitziah. He can be zoch in an object that's ownerless, but not min haTorah. But mipnei darkei sholom. Darkei sholom indicates a takana that the chachamim established in order to avoid that people will have fights. You know, everybody wants to get the mitziah out of the hands of this katan, because midoraisa, the katan, has no schia. So in order to guarantee darkei sholom, they made a takana that let the katan be zocha in this mitziah. and nobody's going to fight with the cotton and pounce upon it. Rabbi Yossi Omer, with regard to Metzias Kereshot V'katan, Gezel Gomur. What does that mean, Gezel Gomur? It sounds like he's saying, which would be very consistent in Rabbi Yossi's frame of reference, that the cotton is Zokrim and Ator. B'Omer Rav Chisda, where Rav Chisda V'ver, in the Sugin Gittin, explains that Rabbi Yossi doesn't mean that it's Gezel Gomur min HaTorah. That's not what the word Gezel Gomur means, the phrase Gezel Gomur, that if somebody snatches it from the hands of the Katan, he would be in violation of Gezel Doraisi B'Pasal Yedus, but rather Gezel Gomur mi Divrayim. Now, what's the difference between Gezel Gomur mi Divrayim and Gezel Mipnei Darkei Shalom? In both cases, they're Rabbanon. It means that according to the Tanakhama, although a katan has been granted a yad midrabanon, and that's called darkei shalom, however, if somebody grabs it away from the katan, you cannot sue that gazlan, cannot be sued in a bezdin. And we'll explain why in a minute, but according to Rabbi Yossi, Gezel Gomer Midivrehem, which means that the Rabbanon established the Yad of a Katan to be Zocher and Metzia as a full-fledged Yad. It means that according to Rabbi Yossi, Gezel Gomer Midivrehem means that should someone steal and grab the Metzia from the hands of the Katan, that someone could be sued in a Bezdin and he'll have to return the object. The Tanakhama, on the other hand, holds Mipnei Darkei Shalom. It's the Efshalotzia V'dayonim. And this proves that according to Rabbi Yossi, a Katan who finds a Mitzia, he doesn't acquire ownership min HaTorah. It's only Midivrei Chachamim. The Gezel Gomer is only Midivreiim. And if that be the case, we got to go back to our old question. Why does Rabbi Yossi hold Yelaket Bno Achrov? After all, the Katan is not Zocher min HaTorah. He's only Zocher on behalf of his father, Midrabanon. And if that be the case, they're embezzling, they're stealing from the Aniyim, because it's Momen Aniyim. Leket Shiklupay is Momen Aniyim, and the father is an Ashir. Elo Amar Abaye. The Abaye says that, you know what, Rabbi Yossi really holds, like the Tana of Mishnah, the Katan does not have a Schus Min HaTorah. He only has Midrabbanan. And as we saw in Rav Chisda and Gittin, is Gezel Gomer Midivrayim. Ah, you'll ask, why is it that, despite the fact that the pole is an Ashir, the son is allowed to be Malaket Achrov? Ah, the answer is, how did the Chachom establish this Takona? Sua Kemisha Holchu Ba Nemushos. And this is a mission at the end of Peah called Misha Holchu Ba Nemushos. Now, what does this mean? This means that, again, we're not exactly sure why, but the Chachamim, and this is going to be the next sugya that we have to study in a minute, but the Chachamim allowed the son to travel through the Sada behind his father and collect the Leket Shekopeah. We don't know why yet, that's the unknown. But what the Chachamim did was, they said that this is not Gezel Aniyim. Why is this not Gezel Aniyim? Because the Aniyim understand and anticipate that the son is going there for the express purpose. He's not just, you know, hanging on to his father, like, you know, piggyback. He's there for the purpose of collecting the leket. Then they, the Aniyim, are Mesiach Das. They're, so to speak, Mesiach. And that's called Holchu Bei, in the classical case, Hanemushos. Nemushos means the older people that have to use canes, and they collect one little grain after the other. And as soon as the Nemushos clear out the field, the assumption is there's nothing left. Even though in truth there is a little bit left here and there. But at that point, anyone could pick up the leket. You don't have to be an ani. Why? Because the anim already are Mesiaish. That's called Yeush. They already despair, they have no hopes, they don't hold on to any hopes that they'll be able to find anything. So what they do through this Yeush is they give up their bailus and their ownership rights over the leket. The aniyim gufay maschi adaite. And here too, in the case of a poel, with the children going after the poel through the sada, is savri, they say to themselves, and these are the thoughts that go through the minds of the Aniyim is Brei Dehech Malaktele. No doubt that the children of this Poel are going to clear out the sun. There's nothing of any value, of any significance will be left for us. And that's called Yeish. Now again, Yeish is an interesting halacha. Classically, Yeish works in an Aveda. And what that means is that Yeish doesn't work as a hakno. When a person owns an object and possesses it with a full-fledged kinyan, Yeish is not in any way effective, and it's not mafkir the kinyan. When someone's bailus is incomplete, there's already a process going on of siluk habailus. The clincher is Yeish. Yeish completes the process that already begun of hafkas bailus. For example, if somebody loses something, it's already out of his rishus, and to some extent there's a partial hafkas bailus. It's not avud mina olam, but you know, the question is, does it still really have, you know, strings attached to its bailum? There are strings, but they're weak strings, and Yeish comes and breaks up that strings when the owner realizes that the chances of his ever getting back and retrieving his lost object are slim. And in that case, he objectifies the shema avud. Once it's avud legamre, then his bailus is completely mufka. Here too, in the case of Aniyim, they have a partial but incomplete kind of zchus or kinyan ownership rights over leket shikopeya. They're only holding out for the possibility of there being zocha in it by picking up the leket shikopeya. As soon as they realize, you know what, the chances of getting leket shikopeya are close to nil, you know, and the mushos have already cleared out the field, and there's nothing left for us, or the son of the poel has already collected all the leket, there's nothing left for us, at that point they're misyayish. And that's why the father, meaning the poel, is allowed to pocket the leket shikopeya. But wait a minute. Notice that there is a certain circular reasoning over here, because the rabbanan are making a takana in which, or through which, the zechia of the ben in leket shikopeya automatically gives a zechia, ownership rights to the father. He's an usher. So what are you telling me? Well, the aniyim are being misyayish the mesiach das. Why would the aniyim be misyayish das unless you allowed the son to milakeith? But why make such a takana to begin with? And that, I believe, is the objection here of Rav Adav Armasna to Abaye. And he says, v'chi muta li odom laharbitz ari betoch sadeu kidei shiiru aniyim v'yivruchu? Are we going to say that the Chacham allow a person to take a lion and go through the sada in such a way that the aniyim are going to run away from this? And if you take a look at the Mishnah in the fifth parak of Peah, it says, Mishenim enyechs aniyim lilkod. If a person, you know, chases away the aniyim and prevents them from collecting the Peah, Hareze goes to los aniyim, he's stealing for the aniyim. So how could Abai say that the chachomim are going to allow and permit the ben of the poel to take all the matnas aniyim, and the reason for that is because the aniyim themselves are misyayish and they make it hefker? It doesn't make any sense. They're only being mafkirit because of the ben, but if not for the ben, they don't want to give up on their rights. They really anticipate and believe that they'll be able to collect the payas successfully. So what are you telling me? You're telling me that we're going to allow the son of the poel to come in when he really has no right to be zocha on behalf of the father. The father's an asher, but we're going to do this so that the aniyim will be meisiach das. There's a circular reasoning over here. Ela amar Rava. The reason why Rabbi Yossi holds that it's mutter, it's permissible for the poel, the ben of the poel, to collect the payah, is, and here we're turning to Daf Yud Beis on Yud Beis, and the Chachomim established also a she'eno zoche kizoche. They established that even though a katan in general cannot be zoche in a metziah for himself, here they established that he can be zoche in the metziah for himself. Interesting. There is no yad. And as we saw, Rav Chisda interprets Rav Yossi as saying that the takon, that the yad of a katan is in a mitzvah is only Mishum Darkei Sholom, it's only a Takanas Chachamim. Again, Rabbi Yossi went a step further beyond Darkei Sholom, he called it Gezel Gomer, but says Rabbi Chizkiyahu Midivrayim, there is no Yad on a Torah level. The Bible doesn't recognize the Yad of a Kotten to be Zocher for himself. Any Zchus that the Kotten has to be Zocher to Metzias or Mid Rabbanan. Ah, but you know what? How did the Rabbanan establish this chus? Did they give the katan a yad, or did they say no? The katan is a yad of the father. Is the object going directly from hefker into the reshus and the ownership of the father, in this case the poel, or no? Is there a way station in the middle? First, the katan is zocha on his own behalf, and only then he is mezake. He transfers over to the father. My timer, why did the Chachamim establish, according to Rabbi Yossi, that the son could be Zocha on his own behalf? They gave him a Yad, even though the Torah didn't recognize that Yad. And the answer is, Aniyim Gufayu Nichalahu. Even the Aniyim are happy with this arrangement. You know, sometimes you do for me and I do for you. Ki hechi dechi agru ledidhu nilkot binayu bitravayu. It's it's for the best interest of the Aniyim to set up this arrangement. Every Ani potentially might get a job as a poel, and as an Ani, he has great, you know, interest in his son being able to be malakit on his behalf, the leket shekupeya. So this is a good institution. If the Chachamim have a way, which, as Rav Yossi says, they do, of being metaking that the cotton could be zocher in the leket shekupeya, and then the leket shekupeya goes to the ashir, to the father, then the chacham will do so. And why will they do so? Because in the overall societal needs and framework, this works well for the aniyim. Again, it's counterintuitive, because he's saying now that, technically speaking, this whole operation on behalf of the poel is invalid. It's invalid, and it's really stealing from the aniyim. So why are you allowing this whole takanas chachamim that the cotton has a yad, and therefore, and so far as he's an ani, he can be zolch in the leket shekupeya, and then it reverts back to the father. Why would they give the cotton a yad and mess up the aniyim over here? The answer is because the aniyim like this arrangement, and it works on their behalf. Because today, Reuven is a poel, and Chanoch, his son, is working for Reuven, and tomorrow, an ani, we'll call him the unidentified anonymous Ani, he's going to work in the field. And he wants, it doesn't have to be this field, and he wants, he's eager for his son to pick up the leket shekupeya. He can't do it because he's a kablan. But his son can do it by virtue of this takana. How does takana operate? What's the mechanics? You can't tell me that the cotton is just an extended yad, an extended arm of the poel, because that would be Gezel Aniyim. The way they did is by creating this way station, this two-stage process. In stage number one, the katan is Zocha on behalf of himself. Now, earlier we quoted Shmuel. Shmuel understands that in our Mishnah, the reason why Metzias HaKotan Li'aviv is because the ben is Meritz Eitzel Aviv. The Gemara now quotes a dissenting view. Another view, Upliga, and Shmuel argues with Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. The Omer Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. What does it mean in the Mishnah that in the case of Bino Gadol, Mitziyasa Li'atzmo, in the case of Bino Kot, Mitziyasa Li'aviv, Lo Gadol Gadol Mamish, for Lo Kotin Kotin Mamish, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Shmuel. Shmuel took the words katan and gadol in our Mishnah and the Reish and the Sefer literally as classical katan up to the age of 13 and gadol after the age of 13. No, that's not the correct interpretation in Sisra Rabbi Yochanan. But rather, katan means, okay, let's start with gadol. That's the way the Gemara. Gadol means, I don't care how old he is, but he's samach al shulchan aviv. Again, he could be a very mature person, but he's being supported by his father. And katan means eino samach al shulchan aviv. Let me just reiterate that. I think I I think I was a little ambiguous. According to Rabbi Yochanan, when the Mishnah talks about Katan and about Gadol, we're talking about Samach al Shulchan Aviv and Eino Samach al Shulchan Aviv. Obviously, it goes in this direction. A Gadol means that he's Eino Samach al Shulchan Aviv. It doesn't have any, it doesn't reflect his age. He may be a Katan, but if he's independent, he's not being supported by his father, he is a gadol for our purposes in our Mishnah. And he can be zocha for himself. What does a katan mean in our Mishnah? He can be 40 years old and he's still called katan because he's samach al shulchan aviv. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, even a gadol who's zocha and has kinyanim for himself, if he's samach al shulchan aviv and he finds a mitziah, the mitziah goes to his father, Mishum Eva, and he's called a katan. And if a katan is Eino Samach al Shulchan Aviv, his mitziah goes to himself. Now you see a somewhat long tosus here, Dibur Maskil Rebbe on Yud Beis and Yud Beis. And the point that we want to take from this tosus for our purposes of pshat is that we're looking at Eva. We're trying to establish that the mitziah that a katan picks up is reverts to the father, to avoid Eva. When it's Bino Shetakal Azuno Tamid, if it's a situation where the father is supporting his son, and you know what? That's critical, because if the father doesn't support his son, I don't know if anybody else will. And therefore, Samach al Shulchan Aviv plays a major role here in Rabbi Yochanan's frame of mind. And we have to solidify that relationship between the father and the son, because we want to encourage and motivate the father to continue to support his son, and therefore we gave him the mitzvah. Now Tosfos goes on to say that Adam Acher Shasamach al Shulchan Chavero, I guess you'd say, it's not Shulchan Aviv, meaning if Reuven and Chanoch are not related to each other, but Reuven is supporting Chanoch, and it could be possibly because, unfortunately, Chanoch is an orphan, and he doesn't have a father. In these cases, we're not going to say that when Chanoch, the orphan, who's been adopted by Reuven, picks up a mitzvah, that mitzvah reverts to Reuven, even though Reuven is supporting him. This is a separate halacha, says Tosfos, with regard to Beno. The Mishnah Lamelchin Ilchas Avodim has a long discussion, somewhat complicated, we'll see if we can get something out of it, as to why Rabbi Yochanan rejected the interpretation of the Mishnah of Shmuel. What was bothering Rabbi Yochanan? And the Mishnah Lamelchin claims that it all boils down to understanding Rabbi Yossi. The only way Shmuel was able to justify Rabbi Yossi and allow the katan to be malakeit on behalf of his father, even though his father is an Ashir, was through the principle, the mechanics of Asu Es She'eno Zoche Kizoche, which means that the Katan has no Yad for himself, and the Rabbanan established the Yad for himself, and that means that the Katan is being Zoche Liatzmo. Remember the two-stage process that we discussed before. Rabbi Yochanan is hard-pressed on this concept of Asu Esheino Zoche Kizoche. That's a chidush, that the Rabbanu will give a yad to someone who doesn't have a yad. I mean, Bishleim, if the Rabbanu established that it goes directly to the Av, then okay, the son is only a mechanical robot, so to speak, an extension of the arm of his father. The yad, the son never had and never, even the Rabbanu was recognized as having a yad. Now the Shita Mugubetzis points out here in the name of the Ritzbash that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't argue with Shmuel that the Schi of a Katan is not Midaraisa. In other words, Mitzias Cheir Shot of a Katan Yesh Be Mishum Gezel Bipnei Darki Shalom, and Darki Shalom means it's not Gezel Gomor. Perhaps even Mirabonin it's not Gezel Gomor. It comes out then that Rabbi Yochanan's arguing with Shmuel about the time of our Mishnah, whereas Shmuel says it's Mishum Shemaritza Liaviv, whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan, the reason for the din of our Mishnah and the metziah going, reverting over to the father is because of a chashash eva, which Rabbi Yochanan says only applies in a case of Sovach al Shulchan Aviv. The father is shelling out for mizonos. So the nafkamina between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan is going to be the following. Whereas Shmuel will say that in the case of a gadol, no matter what, the gadol collects the metziah and pockets it. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan will say, wait a minute, maybe this gadol is Sovach al Shulchan Aviv. And in such a case, it goes to the father, Pishum Eva. In the case of a katan, for example, Reb Shmuel would say absolutely, unequivocally, without any exception, the mitziah that the katan finds goes to the father. And as we said before, because normally it's meritzel to other, therefore, according to Shmuel, the Chacham established this kinyan that goes directly into the father. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan was saying in the case of a katan, if he's Eino Sovach al Shulchan Aviv, then there's no Eva. And now you have to understand, okay, if there's no Eva, what happens? What's the din? That's what I want to know. According to Rabbi Yochanan, in the case of a katan, She'eino Sovach al Shulchan Aviv, what's the din? Now let's take a careful look at the last line and a half of Rashi Divrei Maskil Ad Rav Chiya. If you're on Yud Beis Amud Beis, count down about 8 lines from the top. He says, "Aval eino samach al shulchan aviv, afilu katan mitziyaso shalo." And what this means, if we take the Ritzbash and we superimpose it or combine it with Rashi, it means that the katan doesn't have a schus or a kinyan l'nafshei, and that's because the Torah never gave the katan such a yad for zchiya l'nafshei. That, in that context, we said Rabbi Yochanan doesn't argue with Shmuel. And now the question is, when the katan is zoche, and that's all, as we said, midivreim, were the Chacham misaking that the katan is zochah on behalf of the father or behalf of his son? According to Shmuel, as we saw in the case of a katan, that's exactly the takana. Meritzei tzal aviv, and the whole discussion we had earlier, the katan is zochah as an extension of the yad of the father. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, wait a minute, if it's a katan she'eino samach al shulchan aviv, and there's no issue of eva, let the katan be zochah for himself. And I think that's what Rashi means when he says mitziyah aso shalo. If I'm interpreting Rashi correctly, mitziyah aso shalo means that he, the katan, owns the mitziyah. But that's a little bit strange, because we said before the name of the Mishnah Lamelech that the reason why Rabbi Yochanan rejected Reish Lakish, I'm sorry, Shmuel, is because he did not want to understand and accept the mechanics of aso she'eino zocheh kezocheh, which was the Yisoda Yisodas of Rabbi Yossi Shita, allowing the Katan to go behind his father, who's the Poel, and collect the Matnas Aniyim, because it goes directly to the Katan. Now, assuming for a moment that Katan is Eino Samach al Shulchan Aviv, then everything's okay. No, I shouldn't say everything's okay, because again, the Mishnah Melech is saying that according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's a hard pill to swallow that osu asheinu zoche kizoche, if we assume that midraisa, the katan, has no yad, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, and the Rabbanan are giving him a yad, and in this case to be zoche for himself, because he's eino samach al shulchan aviv, then osu asheinu zoche kizoche. So I'm not sure how to fit that into the Mishnah Lamelech. But furthermore, I want to ask the following question. Regardless, or even leaving the Mishnah Melech out, according to the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan, in the case of a katan, she'eino samach al shulchan aviv, he's independent of his father's no eva, then if we accept the Ritzbash in the Shita Mekubetzes, that even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that a katan has no schia min haTorah, here, in the case of katan, she'eino samach al shulchan aviv, they established a yad. The Rabbanan established a yad for a katan. They gave him a yad. And if that be the case, I do understand why, at least in the case of Eino Samach al Shulchan Aviv, the katan could go behind his father and pick up on Leket Shikopeh. What I don't understand is why Rabbi Yossi assumes that after the cotton picks up the peah, now it reverts back to the Adon. If we're talking about Einos Samach al Shulchanav, why Rabbi Yochanan would reject that halacha? And not only that, but Rabbi Yossi seems to have been discussing any case of a ben, whether he's a ben katan, whether he's samach al shulchanav or Einos Samach al shulchanav. It's Einos Samach al shulchanav aviv. Then, according to what we saw here in Rabbi Yochanan, the object is going, the peah is going directly into the rishus of the father. The father is an usher. How could that be? Okay, Rabosai, we'll take a break. The Mishnah says, Mitzias avdo v'shivchaso ha'ivrim ha'reyu shel atzmon. That if we're talking about a Jewish eved, a Jewish shivcha, then he or she can be zoche in a mitzia li atzma. The Gemara says, Amai, I don't get it. Lo yehei el poel. And we've already had a brisa, if you recall, we had this yesterday. The mitzias poli atzmo, pamedvar mamurim bisman sha'omerlo, nakesh imi hayom, ador imi hayom, avol omarlo, asemi meloch hayom, mitziaso lebalabayis. Now the Mishnah establishes in the case of Eved Ivri, the zechiyah on the mitziah is for himself. The Eved doesn't have to magnanimously give it over to the Adon, to his master. But according to this brisa, what we're saying is that if a person was hired for an entire day of work, and certainly Eved Ivri is hired for 6 years of work, then in such a case, mitziah solabalabayis. Not like the Mishnah says that the Harehu Shel Atzmo, it should go to the Baal Bais. And why is that? Because the Baal Bais hires him for anything, for all pu'ulot. It was a general, it wasn't specified of Nakesh or Ador. It's a general kind of Asei Imi Kol Malacha, or any Malacha. Nothing is singled out, nothing is specified. And therefore, one of the Malachas that are included in the deal here, when the poel was hired, was that he's going to pick up a mitziah on behalf of the Baal Bais. So in a case where included in this general kind of skiris poel, the poel is called upon in the context of his contractual commitment to pick up an Aveda or a Mitzvah on behalf of the Baal Bais, if we go to our case of an Eved Ivri, he was not hired, he was not purchased for a specific Malacha, but for the general fulfill the will of your master, whatever Malacha he asks of you. And if you find a Mitzvah, then it certainly belongs to the Adon. So why does that Mishnah say Mitzias Eved Oshivcha Li Atzman? That's the kasha we're asking. Omer Ab Chiyo Bar Abba, Omer Ab Yochanan Hocha Bi Eved Nokev Margolios Askinon Shein Rabba Rotzel Shanos Moloch Acheres. Every Eved is a little bit different. If, for example, an Eved has a special talent, he's able to prepare jewelry, to take a pearl and make an incision in the pearl so that it could be sold on the market as jewelry. In such a case, the Adon would not be happy about the Eved changing his Malacha. When he hired the Eved was known as an expert of a Nokev Margolios, and that's the context in which, and that's the understanding in which the Baal Bais, the Adon, purchased the Eved. And the Baal Bais knows that the Eved has this very special skill of being Nokev Margolios. He doesn't want to waste that on any other Malacha. So here's a case where an Eved is specified. This Eved has the same din as a poll that we discussed earlier of Nakeshimi or Adorimi, where the employer was very specific about the obligation of the employee. Rabosa have to admit there is a theoretical possibility that the Metzia was so valuable that it would exceed beyond the value of the Nekivas Margolios. But that's a rarity. That's the exception to the rule. As a general rule, we could say that in most cases, the Metzia is worth whatever it's worth. It's a pittance, okay, a couple of shekels, a couple of dollars. But it's not worth more than the avoda, the Eved. So the Adon really wants the Eved to be dedicated to that avoda that brings in good money of no Kef Margolios. And the Adon has no interest in the Eved going ahead and running around picking up Metzios. And therefore it comes out that when the Eved does pick up Metzios, he's really picking it up for himself. And that's what the Mishnah means when it says, Metzias avdo shifchosiv marayu li'atzmo. He's zoche in this Metzia for himself, because other than the minute that he takes to retrieve this Metzia, he is dedicated to being no cave Margolios, you know, as long as there are Margolios to be no cave. And the bottom line is that in a context, a specific context, and a unique context of a relationship between the Adon and the Eved, where the Adon expects the Eved to dedicate all his time and all his efforts to this specific malacha, that requires a certain skill, and the Eved is endowed with that skill. In that cases, if the Eved takes a break from his Nekivas Margolios, from the work that he's occupied with, in order to retrieve an Aveda, it's for himself. He owns it. Again, he's going to have to reimburse the Balabayas for time lost. If, let's say, he spent 5 minutes, you know, retrieving the Aveda, we have to deduct, you know, 5 minutes of work from the salary. Rav Amar, Rav gives a different answer. Our Mishnah is b'magbia metzia im malacha askinon. There's no bitul malach at that hour. He, the Eved, picks up the metzia with one hand, he's ambidextrous, while with the other hand, he is doing the malacha. He's doing the Nekivas Margolios. And therefore, it doesn't, the metzia doesn't belong to the Adon at all. The Adon doesn't even have a miktas tvi on this Adon. In a case where we discussed before, Rava, in Rav Chiya's frame of reference, the Eved was in no cave Margolios and he took time out from his work. That's, takes off from his work, he's got to pay back something, you know. But again, the Metzias Liatzvah, Rav is saying, I can even give you an explanation of our Mishnah where the Metzias HaEved is Liatzmo without the Eved having to placate the Adon for lost time, because he there was no loss of time while he was Tokidei, he was doing this Malach without any Bitul Mimena. At that moment, he was Magbir the Metzia. It doesn't belong to the Adon at all. The Adon owns the Malach of the Eved, but doesn't own the Metzia of the Eved. Rav Papa Omar Kigon Shescharo Lelakeit Metzios. The Brisa that established that Metzias Poel is a Baal Bayis, that's a case where the Baal Bayis hired this Poel specifically to collect lost objects on behalf of the Baal Bayis. Ve'efi Domi, the Akve Agma Bekave, that the waters of the river were overflowing onto the banks, and they brought with them fish. The fish were, you know, laying around on the shore. When the nar goes back, you know, the tides collect back in retreat, those fish are left on the karka, and the Baal Bayis hires a person to collect that fish on the water bank of the river. Now, if the Poel, or I should say the Eved, finds fish, which he should be, then he can't claim that Metzia is his, as we saw in the Braisa, because he's being hired for the express purpose of collecting these Metzios. In fact, there's a Chiddush here, says Tosafot Rosh, that even if another Metzia, other than the fish, you know, comes by, so too, he's been hired to find Metzios, and that goes back, reverts to the Baal Bayis. Our mission, on the other hand, is talking about a Stam case of an Eved v'Shivcha. They weren't hired explicitly for likut mitzios, you know, to go out collecting mitzios, you know, you'll see on the sometimes on the beaches, you'll see people who have these large sifters, and they might spend their whole day sifting through the sand to see what was lost under the sand. But that's not a case of a stam ebe v'shivcha. They weren't hired for meleches, collecting, you know, in the sand, looking for lost objects. And therefore the mitzia is li'atzman. The Gemara asks the question now, hai shivcha echidami? What exactly is the case of this shivcha mentioned in the Mishnah? Idi aisi shtei saros, if she's already considered a nara. The Mishnah says in Kiddushin Adaf Yudal Amid Beis, Omer V'riyakonis Atzmo B'simonim. Once she leaves the state of Katnus and enters into the state of Narus, the Simonim Amafkia, the status of a Shivcha, Yisraelis of an Omer Ivriya, and she goes L'Cherus. So it can't be a case where she already has Shtei Saros, because in such a case, then the Shivcha is not a Shivcha. How can the Mishnah classify her and describe her as a Shivcha? She's already Mishuchreres. V'idolo Aisi Shtei Saros. If you're talking about a Ketana and she hasn't brought Shtei Saros, it's still difficult. Because Isei Li'ov, if she has a father, the Avuav, the Mitzia of an Omivriya is to the father. And that comes under the special halacha of Binurel Beis Aviyah, called Shvach Nurel Aviyah. And Idolese Liav, let's say she doesn't have a father, he died, is Tepuk B'misas Av. Then she's not a Shivcha because she goes out for Cherus after the death of her father. Diomer Reish Lakash of Avriya, Konis Atzma B'misas Av. Now, basically what we're saying is that there's no middle ground over here. In other words, how can you find a shivcha that is and acquires the mitzia on her own behalf? If she has Cyrus, she's not a shivcha. If her father died, then she's not a shivcha. Because a shivcha, an omavriya, goes out l'cherus, either with Saris, with Narus Simonim, or with the Misas Ahav. Elo, are you going to tell me that she's obviously a Ketana, she could have had Shtei Saris if she's an Oma, and if she's a Ketana and she has a father, then the din is that the Mitzia goes to her father. And yet the Mishnah seems to say that a Shivcha Ivris, the Mitzia is hers, she keeps it for herself. Now, Reish Lakish pointed out that in Omavriya's Konis Atzma V'Misas Av, he goes on and he says, Mirshus Adon, Mikal V'Chomer, meaning she leaves the Rishus of her father with a Kal V'Chomer. If Simonim could take her out of the Rishus of the father, then how much more so would the Misa of the Av take her out of the Rishus of the father? So if a Ketana at the age of 12, going on to 12 and a half, sees Saros, Simonim, then at that point she's still in the Rishus of her father. That's called a Nara, Binurev Esavir. It's only when she becomes a Bogeris at 12 and a half, that's when she leaves the Rishus of her father. And nevertheless, the Simonim are enough to be Motzi Osa Mea Adon. If she brings Simoni Nara, she goes L'Cherus. Even though, again, technically, in a normal case of a daughter and a father, she remains in the Rishus of her father even after Simon. In other words, what we see is that the Simoni Narus have a certain power here, which they normally don't have, to be Motzi Olecherus, is Misa Sa'av, which in general takes her out of the Rishus of the father. It's not like Simoni Narus, where she still remains Binurev Savir during her Narus, the Rishus of the father. Here, the father's gone, and she's completely on her own now. And the law also is that Ein Avia Morish Maise Yodea Le'acheha. Once the father is gone, then he can't bequeath the prophets or the Maisiadayim of the Bas of the Nara to our brothers. Is there for Kavachomer that the Koach of Misa is enough to remove her from the Rishus of her father? So if the father dies, she goes L'Cher. So according to Reish Lakish, what Shivcha is indicated by a Mishnah as a Shivcha where the Metziah goes for herself. She's a Ketana. For Lavi Sosif Reish Lakish, why are you so concerned about this? Name a high timer, Nami Tevi Tufta. We already rejected Reish Lakish. Means the sugya in Kiddushin Tes Zayin of Reish Lakish, who derives from the Kavach Chomer that Misa Sav certainly is Motzia Mishus HaAdon, is Ososiv, Itos. And the Gemara there in that sugya already has a kasha and a tiyuvta on Reish Lakish. So the Gemara says, but Neimot Mehai Nami Tevi Tiyuvta. Should we assume that this mission is also a tiyuvta on Reish Lakish? In other words, perhaps they'll get an answer to that meisvei over there in Kiddushin, but perhaps we still, even if we slug up that pircha, we still have a pircha on Reish Lakish from here, because in our sugya, in our Mishnah, clearly the shivcha, even though father died, she still maintains her status as a shivcha, as an omivriya. And the Mishnah wants to tell me that is mitziyasa liatzma. So the Gemara says, lo, from our Mishnah, you cannot be doche Reish Lakish. We're not talking about a case of a shivcha shemes avia, and she still retains the status of an oma. Liolam di iso liav. This oma vriya has a father. Ay, umay arehein sholahem. So why should it be that this ketana hametzia is for herself? Lafuke de Rabba. What does this mean? Lafuke de Rabba. Lahotzi shametzia ena sheyeches li adon. Avol beemes gam ena sheyeches ena shivcha el shalavia. The Mishnah's meaning of metzias latzma means, not in a positive sense that she pockets the mitzvah, it certainly goes to her father if her father's alive, but the chiddush of the Mishnah is that it doesn't go to the Adon. And the reason it doesn't go to the Adon is because he doesn't own her guf, and she has rights to collect a mitzvah and acquire ownership on it. The only thing is that she's a ketana, and a ketana is an omivriya. The rishus and the control and the financial ownership of the father is that much greater than that of the adon in this case. It's a little odd in this case of an oma that the metziah goes to her father. The truth is that according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding, the metziah should go to that person who's supporting her. In this case, it's the adon who's supporting her and not her father. So frankly, I don't understand why the Metziah doesn't go to her Adon who's supporting her, but rather goes to her father. Unless we assume that this sugi is going to Shmuel, that the Metziah goes to the father because when a child, in this case a Ketana, finds a Metziah, she's Meritza Eitzel Aviv. Or alternatively, perhaps we could say that even though she is supported by her Adon, that's a result of the fact that the father sold the Amma to this Adon. And the Metziah, in this case, should go to the person who was responsible for the Mizonos. And the original prime mover, so to speak, in her Mizonos was her father. Maybe there's a specific reason why the Halacha wants to guarantee that the Metziah goes to the father. After all, the father still has rights to marry her off, and you know, we want to keep the father happy, otherwise maybe he'll marry her off to Mukashchin to make some bucks. So we'll let him have the Mitziah. In any event, getting back to our Mishnah, Mitzias Ishto, in the case of a woman who was divorced, the husband, has not yet paid up the ksuba. She finds a metziah, she can pocket it. So the Gemara asks, Gersha Pshita. I mean, once she receives a get, she's no longer married to him. We're talking about a case of Safek Karav Lo, Safek Karav Lo, where her husband threw her a get in such a way we're not sure, and we have no way of clarifying whether the Nesina was a valid Nesina, and now she's in the limbo state of Safek Megureshes. The Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Shmuel, Kol Mokom Shamru Chachamim, Megureshes V'Eina Megureshes, is Baila Chayev B'Mizonoseha, in a situation where she's a Safek Megureshes, and now she can't get married because he is still, so to speak, holding on to her, the strings, you know, she's still attached to him because he didn't give a clear get. And therefore, he, the husband, still has to continue supporting her because she can't get married until he gives her a good get. So our Mishnah wants to say that even though he's chayav b'mizonos, and you would think therefore the metziah should go to him, to the husband, nevertheless, no, metziah sal atzma. Why? Time of my omer abona metziah sa isha l'paylo, ki eich lo tevilei la eva. The whole reason why, in the framework of ksuba, the chachamim established that the metziah that a woman finds goes to her husband, that's all because of, you know, we want to avoid eva. I mean, he's supporting her, and she collects the metziah for herself, pockets it. But hachi, in the case where her husband already threw her a get, just that it was a suffix, whether the get was chal or not, is isle eva v'eva. He already hates her. There's no reason to make a takana that the husband should get her metziah in order to avoid eva. I mean, there's no great shalom bias in this relationship as it is now. The Mishnah establishes Motzah Shtari Chov. A person finds a Shtari Chov. And normally there's a Chiv HaShava in a case where you find something that has a Siman. But here he doesn't know who dropped it. It either belongs to the Malva or to the Lova. If it belongs to the Malva, he's going to use it to collect it from the Lova. If it belongs to the Lova, it means he dropped the Shtar and he's already paid up the Chov. So the Mishnah establishes that if you look into the shtar, and it says clearly that the karkos of the lova are mishubados to back up the chov, such that in a default position where the lova has no money to pay, the malva has recourse to collect from lekuchos, from karka, is then lo yasir. In such a case, the finder of the shtar should not return the shtar to the malva. Shebezdin ifraimihem. I mean, Bezdin is going to collect the chov from the karka de lekuchos, and perhaps they have no right to do so because the chov is already paid up. The shtar is really possible. And then Bezdin is going to confiscate the karka of the lekuchos at shalokidin. But if ein lahem bohem achrayus nechosim, if there's no issue of lekuchos here, because this shtar has no achrayus, then yachzir, the shtar can be returned by the finder to the malva. Why? She'ein bezdin nifron mehem. Bezdin will not be able to use this shtar to collect from the lekuchos, so we don't have to worry about hefsed lekuchos. Again, the question is, why don't we have to worry about hefsed halove? Assuming the lova is denying, he's claiming that he paid up the chov, now you're giving the shtar back to the malva, and even if there's no shibud and no achrayis nechosim vis-a-vis lekuchos, but nevertheless, what about collecting from the lova himself? Divrei Rabbi Meir. So that question we'll have to address. V'chachom omer benkach hu benkach lo yachzim and they should bezin from mehem. The chachamim of our Mishnah make a lot of sense. Don't return the shtar to the malva. He's going to collect from either the chov of the Bnei Chori of the Lova, or they're going to collect from the Lekuchos. Now, why are they going to collect from the Lekuchos if Ein Behem Achrayis Nechosim? I mean, the case of Reb Meir is where he returns the shtar is because Ein Behem Achrayis Nechosim. And the answer is the Rabbanon are of the opinion that Achrayis Tos Sofer, that every Alvod, every Shtar Milveh has a built-in Shibud and collectability from the lekuchos, even though it wasn't written explicitly in the shtar. The Gemara asks the hour question now. But my askinon, what's the case? If the lova admits that he owes this chov, is ki yesh bevach rais nechosim amai lo yasu? What are you worried about? That by returning the shtar to the malva, he's going to collect from the lekuchos hamoda. If the lova and the malva both agree that this chov is an outstanding chov, hasn't been paid up, so memela, the malva has rights to be gover to collect this chov in event that the lova has no money defaults from the lekuchos. What are you worried about? V'ikshe ein chayev moda. If the lova himself is denying, he claims he paid back the chov. Is kiein be machrais nechosamai mayachzir? Even if there's no achrais, there's no issue here of a shibud and collection from lekuchos. How can you return the shtar to the malva? You're giving weapons, you know, very powerful weapons into the hands of the malva to collect the chov from the lova. And after all, the lova is denying, he's claiming he paid up the chov. Liolam, says the Gemara, kishachayov moda. The lova himself admits that he hasn't paid up the chov, but he owes this chov. No, so you asked me, so we shouldn't be worried about the kuchas hachamai taima. Why is the mission still inhibited in returning the shtar to the malva? The chayshin and shema kosav ulvos benisan velo lova ad tishrei v'yasi lemitchef lekuchos shelo kiddin. Even though the lova admits that he borrowed the money and he didn't repay the chov, nevertheless is another chashash. Perhaps the shtar is a shtar posel. It's what you call shtar mugdal, meaning the Mishnah establishes about Basra that the lova could commission two eidim to write a shtar even when they didn't testify, they didn't see the matmos. So again, let's just review this kosav lilvos benisan v'lolovat tishrei. The shtar is given or written on behalf of the lova so that when he gets around to taking... When the lova gets around to receive the loan, which could take months, he'll have in his back pocket the shtar to give to the malva, and there'll be a swap. The malva gives the 1,000, and the lova gives the shtar that testifies to the 1,000. But the problem is that the date on the shtar is muktam, because again, the eidim are writing the shtar in the presence and under the commission of the lova without seeing a matmos. So the actual money was given over 6 months later in this very dramatic case. V'asi l'mitchef lekuchos shelo kiddin. The malva is going to collect from lekuchos from the earlier date that's written on the shtar under the assumption that that's the date of the loan, of the matmos, when in truth, the matmos and the chov and the loan was given 6 months later. So if that be the case, Rabosa, if we're being choshesh for such a shtar muktam, you know what? Let's worry about every single shtar. I mean, once the Mishnah says that the lova could commission two eidim to create the shtar and sign the shtar on his behalf, and they don't see the matmos, then the lekuchas are really in trouble here. Every shtar might be a shtar muktam. How do we allow such a thing? Yihachi kol shitrei, kol shtori, diyasu l'kamon, any shtar in front of Bezdin. When the malva is coming to collect from the lekuchos based on a shtar bilva, nechush lu al hachi, why aren't we afraid that maybe the shtar is a shtar muktam and we're being gover from the lekuchos shelo kiddin? The Gemara answers, kol shtari lo rie, hani rie. In other words, every shtar has no reisa. And when there's no reisa, the shtar talks, so to speak. They're shtaret, as we say in Yiddish, on behalf of the kashrus of the shtar, if it's in the hands of the malva. And as long as the malva is producing the shtar, we're going to assume whatever we have to assume for the kashrus and the validity of the shtar, even if it means we assume that the matmos took place on the same date of the shtar. But here, where you find the shtar in the street, that already is mafkia, the special status of the shtar to answer all questions and all issues and be machshir as a tudas hechsher, and therefore we have to raise the possibility that maybe the shtar in fact is a shtar muktam. So the Gemara says, "Vi ela hadisnan." The Mishnah at the end of Avasra, Kosvin shtal lov afal picha ein mal fe imo. L'chadchila heichi kasvinon. So you're going to tell me, okay, the shtar is going to be handed over to the malva, and now it answers all the questions. But why do we l'chadchila get ourselves into this rut, so to speak, into this little window of chashash that maybe the shtar is a muktam? Nechu shema kosev lilvos benisav olavad tishrei v'yasi l'mitzvah shel chukas lokedin amar v'asi. And here we get to the after Gimel Amud Aleph. In other words, the shtar has to have a kinyan in it. In other words, it's got to be a kinyan that the lov is makne his karkos, he's meshabed his karkos over to the malva. Now, I'm not clear as to whether or not we need to write this in the shtar, and then the shtar serves the shtar kinyan, or perhaps there was a separate kinyan that was done, and there's a kol, and if lekuchas know about that kinyan in which the lova was makne and meshabed his karkos for piron, that's a discussion that we'll believe neither have to pick up tomorrow. But the Gemara that says the ha shabed nafshe, meaning at the moment of the ksivas hashtar, the lov was meshabed himself, the nechasim are now meshubadim for the piron achov, that kinyan shibud was clinched, all the karkos are immediately meshubados, even though the malva didn't actually give the lov the money until 6 months down the line, and therefore there's no psul in the shtar of shtar mukdam, because this particular shtar has that kinyan in it. But a shtar milva stam, where there was no special kinyan in which the lov was meshabed in makne his karkos, that we won't write on behalf of the lov if the malva is not there, and we don't, the edim don't testify that they saw the matan mos. There's a lot more to the sugya, but Imirtz Hashem will continue it tomorrow, Be'ezer Hashem.